This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show. One of our favorite people joins us now, Dan Orlovsky, as we'll talk some football. Dan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys. Hope you guys are well.
We're doing very well, thank you. All right, so Jet fans are wondering. It's right there, the number two pick. They could take Zach Wilson. They could keep Sam Darnold. So you're running the Jets. You know exactly what you have. You know the salary situation. They're going to have to pay Sam, you know, close to $20 million next year. What are you doing, Dan? What are you doing?
I'm still keeping Sam Darnold. Couple reasons. One, the 2019 tape of Zach Wilson scares me. His 2019 tape is bad. It is really bad against good competition, very bad against good defenses. I understand he had the injury and all that stuff, and he worked through it, but he looks like a completely different player in 2020. So, like, I would have to sit down. If I'm Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur and Greg Knapp, I got to sit down and watch that tape with him and go, okay, why is there such a big disparity year two to year three for you in college football? The second thing is, and everyone talks about, like, well, Justin Fields or Mac Jones, those guys, it's easy for them because, you know, they got such great protection and guys are wide open all the time. Go watch the BYU tape. That's the case a lot. He's sitting back there in the pocket. Now, listen, he's got really fun talent, and I love some of the uncoachable traits that he has, but I still want to sit there and go, like, why was there a massive jump from 2020? But one of my biggest reasons is this. Name me the last quarterback that was taken in the last five picks of the NFL draft that went to a bad team and flipped that bad team. They just – it doesn't happen.
But one Cam second, Newton, Dan. Maybe? Joe Burrow didn't flip the Bengals, but he was great before he got hurt. Sam hasn't shown any greatness, though, Dan. Have you seen that?
No, but my question, my pushback would be, how would anyone expect him to show greatness? I think Sam has shown flashes, and he's had stretches, and you see talent. But why would anyone think he was going to show greatness? He was in the worst run organization with the worst head coach with the worst supporting cast. I would ask, like, what quarterback would have shown greatness in that? And if you're going to sit there and go, well, there's still a lot of talent there, and if me as a general manager – I can take the second pick and get, you know, two or three more very high picks for it. Then I'm sitting there going, okay, I'll keep the quarterback, and in the next 2 years we'll see what I have. But I know I can build an organization with all those good picks.
Now, I believe in him. Dan, you believe in him. We all have our opinions. The only one that really matters is Joe Douglas. And I just wonder, right, as somebody that was in the NFL, Dan, does a general manager look and say, I'd rather fail with my guy than somebody else's guy? Yeah, I can keep Sam,
oh, yeah,
and maybe I believe in Sam, but that's a McCagnan pick. I've got a chance to start fresh. I got my coach in here. Let me go out and get my quarterback. Does that influence a general manager?
No doubt. That's often why general managers hang on to players that they draft that aren't as good as they kind of hope will be so quick to.
No. All right, looks like we're losing
and I get
Dan.
That.
Yeah, we lost you for a second, Dan.
I would also.
No, let's go hold back. I don't want to waste too much time with this.
Yeah, we're going to have to call Dan back.
Got a better line.
I think it's the same line that he had at the Super Bowl.
I just want to promise from you. I forgot about that. Don, I just want to promise from you, okay? And you know, I'm rooting for it to work out with Sam. And, Michael, I think you'll be in lockstep with me. No matter what happens this year, I don't care if Sam goes out there and plays 11 games by himself. At the end of next season, when it's all done and they've played 17, we're going to know on Sam one way or the other, right? We can't go another year and then at the end, I still see it.
Listen, I think that they have done a good job of bringing in some talent. Now, is it talent that's going to go from 2-14 to 8-8, 9-7? No, but I would agree with you. You know, right now, the way they are presently constituted, we should be able to see something more. I don't know what that stat is. I don't know if it's 4,000 yards. I don't know if it's, you know, 20 touchdowns, whatever. But, yeah, I would agree that if we're still having a conversation midway through the season, I don't know if this year with the weapons that they got that we can just continue to fall back on that.
Let's go back to Dan. Dan, you were in the middle of answering questions. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, all good. I apologize. I think that Joe Douglas also took that job with the Jets because of his liking of Sam Darnold as a talent. You know, he didn't go there knowing Sam wasn't on the roster. I think the big question has to be this for Joe Douglas. What is more likely, that you take Zach Wilson at number two and he becomes Patrick Mahomes, who's one of the best we've ever seen at the position, or certainly one of the most talented, or that you keep Sam Darnold, trade that pick for two or three more, again, very high picks, and you draft well to build a good football team? Which one is more likely? I would say the latter, because I've seen quarterbacks get drafted early all the time. And the reason, or one of the reasons why they fail, is because they often go to organizations and teams that are not built to support them. And that's my kind of hesitation and fear with what the Jets would do with the second pick. Pick Zach Wilson. But you still have a subpar roster. And that's where they got to figure out which one is more likely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. So how do you explain the thing with Sam, though? He had turnovers at USC. He's had turnovers here. Yep. And he seems like he's a bit injury prone. Does that give you pause?
Of course it gives me pause. And that's why you have to, like, dive into the weeds of it, Mike, and be like, okay, the turnovers, why did they happen? You know, some of the turnovers are completely on Sam making stupid decisions with the football. Some of the turnovers because guys are running free at him. Some of the turnovers are miscommunication by the wide receivers. Some of the turnovers are atrocious play calling. And so I pointed this out before. If you go back and look at the first 3 years of Drew Brees' career, Hall of Famer, so I think Sam's played 38 games or 39 games and has 38 interceptions, right? Drew Brees in his first 39 games had 34. Big Ben in his first 39 games had 38. Matt Ryan in his first 39 games had something like 35. Ryan Tannehill had 36. So very similar interception to games started stats. Those four guys, one, two of them Hall of Famers, one's a league MVP, and one is a guy that's a top 10 player in the NFL right now. So I get it. The turnovers, the interceptions are there. But you have to figure out why they're happening. And then, again, I would say the simplest way is understanding that quarterbacks throw interceptions more often than not because we have to do something with the football sooner than we're ready. And that would be the case when you have bad receivers and a bad offensive line. Is I got to do something with this football now before I'm ready to do it. And that's why I get it, that the interceptions are there. But I'm not somebody sitting there going, my goodness, Sam Darnold, you shouldn't have turned the football over. He had the worst coaching and players around him ever.
Dan, let's move over to the NFC for a second. A lot of conversation now about the addition of Golladay and the moves the Giants have made. Where do you see the Giants finishing next year in the NFC East?
I think the Giants are at the top of the NFC East with the Washington football team. I would flip a coin on who is going to win that division. A couple of reasons why. I think the Giants and Washington are the two of the best coach teams in that division, are the two best coach teams in the division. I think that the Giants have a very good defense. Saquon Barkley coming back would be healthy. I like the Golladay addition. I don't love it. Okay. I think it's a ton of money to pay to a guy that played five games last year and got some stuff off the field that would be concerning to you. I think that the biggest jump or the biggest thing that needs to happen to make this signing worthy is Daniel Jones needs to get really good at throwing to a receiver that doesn't create a ton of separation. He's not one of those guys that wins on routes often. Now, Golden and Shep and Darius didn't win a ton either, but there's a difference between playing with guys that are separators like those receivers because they give you indication that I'm going to try and run away from the defender. A nod of the head, a stick of the foot. Galladay doesn't do that. He's a big-bodied guy that Daniel's just going to have to get comfortable looking at and going, okay, you're not open, but you kind of are, as long as I throw the ball to a specific area. If that gets quickly, if he gets comfortable and confident in that quickly, it's going to help this offense big time, big time. But it will take a little bit of an adjustment. But I put them right at the top of the NFC.
What about the offensive line? How much does it have to improve now with all these weapons? Because what good is it if you don't get protection?
No doubt. Everything starts there. They need to get better, and I think their young players will. I think that their young players – now, we'll see what this offensive offseason looks like in the NFL and if guys are able to work with their coaches or work together. A lot of people sit there and say that they should take a receiver early on in the first round. I think they pick 11. I would take one of those offensive linemen, one of those tackles, especially if they're available. I think there's really good receivers that you'll be able to get in the second or third round. I know that they need a pass rusher as well. Taking a pass rusher there, I think, is going to be a little bit of a flyer in this draft. And so their offensive line is going to be a huge, huge key determining, does Daniel Jones take the next step? Everyone continues to say, well, he's out of excuses. I don't know if we've created a lot of real excuses for him. He's played behind some subpar support system as well. And so it's an important year for him to develop. It's an important year for that offensive line to give them the chance to develop.
All right, before we let you go, did the Patriots make themselves a playoff team again with all their spending?
I think they're the sixth best team in the conference. So, yeah, that would put them in the playoffs. I don't think that this puts them ahead of teams like Cincinnati or Baltimore or Kansas City or Buffalo. But I think it puts them right on the fringe. I believe that they are going to make an aggressive move in the draft for Trey Lance. They've been abnormally aggressive in free agency. I think we'll see them be abnormally aggressive in the draft as well.
Did you see anything positive out of Cam when he came back from COVID last year? And do you think he can be a better quarterback? Because I don't think Bill's going to go with a Trey Lance right away.
No, I did not see anything positive. You know, Cam's issues are mechanical right now, and that's what the big fall off was last year. I don't think you're going to fix that at 31 or 32 years old. Is Cam going to play better than he did the last eight games of the season? Probably. He was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL last year. Now, granted, what was around him wasn't great. I think he's going to be okay, but I do not expect Cam to play MVP football like some people thought he would last year. No.
Great stuff, Dan. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Dan Orlovsky. A very quick point that somebody made on Twitter about the DeGrom and Cole comparison. You know, everybody keeps saying, well, DeGrom was facing the pitchers last year. No, he wasn't. There was a DH in the National League last year. So they were on equal footing.
That's a good point. That slipped my mind.
Yeah, me too.
So now Passan's going to have the answer. He better be ready to bring it.
He better. I mean, he's got his standing on the line. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.